Hello and welcome to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is episode 478. I am your host, Daniel Gregory, and I really do appreciate you listening to the podcast. I hope you are having a wonderful day. Just as a reminder, May 20th through 24th is a free week of Lightroom training as the Lightroom Virtual Summit 2024 is rolling back around. 40 plus classes, lots of content, crazy amount of information, so you might sure you want to take advantage of that. If you head onto my website at danieljgregory.com, scroll about halfway down that page, click on the big graphic there, it'll take you to the registration for a free pass for that content. I'll be teaching a class on Adobe Portfolio, one on working in black and white, and one on some of the considerations for how to approach and think about and have a deeper understanding of your printing setup workflow and how you might potentially use Lightroom to make sure that you can have highly reproducible prints. So that's what I've got lined up in that summit. I've got two things that I wanted to touch on in today's podcast. One I hadn't planned on talking about, but it's sort of become a buzz topic as multiple people have asked me about my opinion on it on the island I live on. And they're not even photographers, but they had read something recently in the pop culture of the photography world and wanted to get my opinion on that. So I'll talk about that here in a second. But before I do that, one of the things that I've been grappling with, I guess, so to speak, is I've been going back through and sort of reorganizing and cleaning up my Lightroom catalog because there's a lot of old things in there. Before I had a system, I just never organized, and there's sort of in a space of uncertainty, and it's just cleanup time. It's just time to get in there and clean up. And there's a lot of photographs in there that I really like. And I can assure you that if I put them on the screen, nobody else would. They're just not things that people are interested in. A lot of them are kind of graphical or they're abstract or they're of subject matter that's taken like at the wrong time of day. It's under some of the harshest daylight. I really like the photographs. They just for some reason connect with me, and they don't connect with me in the sense of, oh, I have a fondness of a memory for that place or a location or a place that I was traveling to. It's not one of those memory invokers. It's literally, I think if I walked by that same thing today, I would probably take that same photograph. And yet, I know that they're not really the photographs that are the most interesting to people. And I think that is one of the areas where a lot of us get stuck. A lot of us sort of have a rub on that, where there's things we photograph, and not everything. I mean, there's some things we photograph that a lot of people like to look at or a lot of people think are interesting, but there's other things that people just feel like, wow, I just don't have a connection to the things you photograph. And not only that, I'm not even sure why anybody would want to photograph that thing. And for me, that's one of the real sort of interesting conversations that we need to have with ourselves about the things we photograph. Because I believe that photography is one of those things that helps us understand sort of who we are and where we are in the universe. It's a way of helping me understand the way I see things, the way I think about things, the way I process, how do I identify what's important to me. And so part of that equation of looking at some of these photographs, and like I said, some of my things are sort of, they're just graphics. They're just colors that are intersected together in what I think are sort of interesting ways. But there is no real, what I would say, you know, core subject matter in the traditional sense of how we might evaluate a photograph. But when I look at those photographs, for me, they represent seeing something in the world. They represent a connection to a moment of recognition that I saw something beyond myself that excited me, energized me, scared me, made me sad, invoked in me some response that made me want to click a shutter. And then even more so than that, to come back and do some processing on it. So when I look at that photograph, I have done something to tweak it. I have taken it to the next level. I've put a little bit of effort into it. And some of them I may have put a lot of effort into. And that realization sometimes that, you know, it comes down to sort of the things that I like, nobody else seems to like. And I've talked about this in this podcast, about a lot of that's finding your audience. Like, you've got to go find the people who like the things you like if you're looking for some external validation in that way. But for me, the sort of the realization in cleaning up the catalog in the last couple of weeks has been understanding that the reason those photographs are taken wasn't necessarily for them to become the signature elements of the kind of photography I do. Or they weren't meant to be at the time I took them, what I would consider sort of core elements to who I am as a photographer. And looking at them now, I would say that several of them are in that way. Several of them were significant in my evolution as a photographer. And I think for me, that was sort of the spin or the twist on this that gave me some different perspective on what I was looking at is that so much of how we see is both evolutionary and revolutionary. We sometimes see something and in the instant moment we get sort of smacked and hit and we jump and we realize, oh my gosh, that is completely different. I have not experienced that. I have not photographed that way. But more often than not, we sort of creep up on how we photograph things. We slowly evolve. We're not fast, rapid change sort of creatures. So as I look back at some of those photographs and I think about, yeah, nobody likes the fact that I photograph metal, contrasting metal elements covered in rain over and over and over again, or concrete walls, or my fern obsession, you know, whatever it is. I look at those things as not for what they are, but for what they're teaching me, what they're showing me, and how I'm evolving and changing, and my ability to pick up details and recognize how color interacts, how textures interact, how light wraps around certain subjects. In a lot of ways, that's what those photographs are teaching me. And what I'm responding to is the things that matter to me, not necessarily by the subjects that I photograph, by the things that I photograph, but in the way my eye sees them, in the way my heart reacts to them. So it's not that I'm seeing a concrete wall. It's that I'm seeing the way the light wraps or is hard and acute against a particular subject. And learning to go back to the photographs and not judge them for, why am I photographing this stuff that nobody cares about, but seeing them as stepping stones to evolve what really matters to me as a photographer. What's sort of hidden in the layering complexity of that photograph, where it's no longer just a concrete wall or abstract metal photographs. It's something else. It is the thing that says when I go out to then photograph other things, abandoned buildings, landscapes, portraiture, I think about the evolution of photographing flat, boring, overcast light of concrete flat walls and surfaces, but how I've had to learn to shape the light, shape the form, shape the concrete, so that when I go photograph, what I'm attracted to is the experience of that depth and movement and texture within there. And how does that, the thing that caught my eye, how does that drag into my other photographies? How does that appear and reveal in my other photographies? How does that escape from my other photographs? And so recognizing that sometimes what we do in our photography is evolve and change, but we are constantly in a learning curve. We're constantly in a learning process. And sometimes there's things that we also can go to because they're comfortable and familiar, which makes the learning process easier. So returning to a familiar subject, returning to a familiar concept might make it easier for us to continue that evolution of how we see and experience the world through the camera. Now, I have no doubt that there's some odd things people photograph and they're just whims of nature and we don't understand the compulsion behind them and we don't even necessarily evolve past making them better photographs. But I do think there are a lot of instances where when we go back and look at those photographs and question, why do I photograph this subject? I think the better question to ask ourselves is, what am I learning from photographing that subject? What is it about photographing the same thing, seemingly the same way? What is that teaching me? What is that helping me with? What is that giving me an understanding for? And again, we both learn through evolution and revolution. So it might be I'm photographing something because it's helping me understand something that it's taking time for me to realize. I'm being influenced from a number of different sources, a number of different locations, but it's in a different way. And so I have to recognize that. Just starting to accept the fact that those photographs weren't necessarily not photographs that anybody else got or things that were weird to photograph, but they were part of the experience of helping me continue to be the kind of photographer that hopefully one day I'll get to be, which is the one that's photographing with the purpose and intention that I always wish I could bring to the camera. Now, the second thing is I got recently asked because about a quote or something that was said, and it was from Adobe, and I love Adobe. I use Adobe's products all the time, and you know, as a marketing person from Adobe or vice president or somebody, I didn't even really look up who it was, but the comment was about how the revolution of AI is the new digital camera. And so I was asked, what do I think about the idea of that digital camera being AI. The camera now is the artificial intelligence. And one, I was like, you know, this is not something I ever really ponder, think about, or worry about, because I really, really don't think my interest behind a camera is going to be diminished at all in any capacity by the fact that somewhere somebody is using text prompts to generate an AI-based image. But then again, I'm not in a segment of the photographic space where I feel at risk for my job or my livelihood. You know, I think stock photography is going to have a hard haul here coming up. There's people who are going to be able to generate and quickly generate images they want without needing the stock photography to continually feed new imagery there. But that's not what I do photography for. That's not how I see photography. And for me, it's always sort of been the interesting question of why does one pick up the camera? What does one gain by using a camera versus reading a book versus painting versus sketching versus going for a walk, exercising, swimming? There is some benefit and some payoff that comes from the experience behind the camera. There's also an experience that comes from the processing of an image. There's also an experience that comes from the printing of an image. And part of the question of the revolution that we are somehow going to give up cameras and give up photography because we have a new tool available to us is absolutely sort of asinine. And I get whoever it was at Adobe that made the statement, they're in the marketing world. Their job's to sort of market the products, create the products, get us excited about the products, or in this case, upset some people about the product. But no matter how we sort of end up sitting on the question of what does it mean to me, what does it mean to you to create and deal with the notion of images and photographies going away, that we're not going to have cameras anymore, we're not going to have these opportunities, these things are going to be gone, is completely, absolutely asinine. We can still process and do photography exactly how we did the day the very first image was taken. When the PC created the first photograph, we can replicate that. We can't replicate a camera obscura. We can still do wet plate. We can do all sorts of stuff. Because at the end of the day, we respond to the images that are created by somebody with the camera. But it is not strictly because they have a specific type of camera. It is not specifically because they used a given setting or a given technology. It's because they were able to give us an experience of something that happened in the world. And that's one of the things that when we think about the nature of photography, and if you go back a year or so when I first talked about the difference between generative AI images and photography, that's one of the primary differences. Photograph and photography is born of the world. It is bound by the world, and it's bound by our experience behind the camera lens, through that mechanized machine, out to the world to capture that light. When we create something in a different way, we create a different thing. We create a different form, and we respond to it differently. We react to it differently. Our context for how we create it is different. There is a huge difference between standing there in the rain in front of the Eiffel Tower and taking a photograph and having the experience of being in France, the smells, the sights, the sounds, the weather hit you versus trying to describe what that might be like or what you remember it being like. They're two different things. Again, one is the presence in the moment and one is not. So this idea that there's a new camera is great. I wouldn't call it a camera because it's not capturing light. It's not reflecting light. It's not got somebody out there experiencing the world in an indexical way, but I'm not going to get hung up on somebody else trying to market that. But that sense of identity, that sense of how we see ourselves can easily get wrapped up. And this is the piece that I was commenting to my friend on who was asking about this, is that as photographers, we could easily get wrapped up in this problem of what does this mean? And what it means is nothing for you if you still pick up your camera, if you still experience the world and see the world through the lens. It means nothing to you because that's not the experience you're driving through the experience of the camera. It's not just about making a photograph. It's about having an experience in the making of the photograph. And the more grounded we are in the experience behind the camera, the more meaningful the work becomes, the more meaningful the images become, and the more connected we come to the work. So for many of us, we pick up that camera because it forces us to be in the world. It forces us to connect to things in the world. And that's ultimately what drives our experience. That's ultimately what drives what matters. So in that sort of ability to get spun up, I think it's really easy for us to sometimes get spun up about things that we probably really don't need to be spun up about. And I would put this in that bucket. So if you're worried about all this technology, all this changes, all you need to do is go out and pick up the camera and keep doing exactly what you've been doing. And you're going to be surprised at how easy it is to continue to make photographs without having to worry about whether or not you're going to be replaced or whether you're going to have a camera that doesn't exist anymore, because you have a camera and it does exist. Thanks so much for listening to me rant a little bit there and also talk a little bit about the notion of the photographs that sort of help us evolve and have a revolution in our way of seeing and experiencing. Have a wonderful week behind the camera. Thanks so much for joining me again. My name is Daniel Gregory and you're listening to The Perceptive Photographer. You can find us every Monday, released every Monday. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't. That way you'll stay up to date with the latest and greatest things. Have a wonderful week and I'll see you next time.